Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Shalom Aleichem, Assalam Aleichem, Namaste, Pak Sat Nam, Sat Sri Akal, Tashi Dalek, Ho Lila Tanyan Wasayake. Hello, may everything be well with you as it is with me. Welcome to this meeting of Beit HaMidrash, the House of Study, where we have been in the last few meetings studying the different concepts, definitions, and meanings of Torah. I'm glad that you're here. And we will continue that studying in that direction on that subject this afternoon. But first, as I do at the beginning of every class, I'll recite the Kaddish for the mourners of the dead. So I ask you to please close your eyes as you listen and remember someone to whom you are close who has died. And by doing so, you'll honor that person's life and bless his or her memory with the light of your consciousness. Yisgadal v'yishkadash smeirabo, bomo divro kirose, v'yamlik melkase, makayakon uv'yomikon, uv'kaya dekol v'yis Yisrael, ba'agalo uv'yizman koyev, v'imru omein. Yehe smeirabo mavorak, le'olam ulome omayo, Yisbarak ve'yistabak ve'yisparar ve'yisramam ve'yisnase ve'yishadar ve'yisaleh ve'yishalal Shmedikajo beraku leolo minko berkaso v'yishiroso tushbikoso v'nekemoso da'amiron ba'omo ve'imru omein Yehe shloma rabo min shemayo ve'kayim aleinu vel kol Yisrael ve'imru omein Ose shalom bimramov, huyashe shalom, aleinu ve'al kol Yisrael, ve'imru omein. Thank you very much. Well, in the last three of these classes, we've been formulating answers to the question, what is the Torah? What is it that God gave to man that we call the Torah? Just what exactly is it? And we have summarized our answer into three general principles that we've been talking about. And those three principles that Torah embodies are these. First, Torah is a living organism, a divine being, the first creation of God, pre-existing anything else besides God and His name. It is a feminine entity. In Proverbs, it's referred to as wisdom, the wisdom that is Torah. Secondly, the second principle is that Torah constitutes the complete mystical name of God. From the first letter to the last, Torah is the revelation of God's mystical name. In fact, Torah consists of a large number of mystical names of God, all of which combined together form one mystical name, and that is Havayah, which contains the four letters of Yod, He, Vov, He, Havayah, in which there's an upper He and a lower He, and a Yod and a Vov. And then the third principle that Torah embodies is that Torah is divine speech. Therefore, every sentence, word, and letter are infinitely significant, and nothing that man can say, since man is not divine, but is only human, and has therefore only limited comprehension and speech. Therefore, nothing that man can say can begin to exhaust the meaning of Torah, because it's divinely infinite. Just as God is without limit, so is Torah without limit. Now, to put this in perspective, I want to sort of back up and touch upon something that a lot of you have probably noticed in these lectures on Torah. And that is that we've talked about a lot of different kinds of Torah. Well, how many Torahs are there exactly? I'm going to attempt to answer that question right now and kind of address what you've been asking yourself all along. Well, when we first started out teaching on Torah, we started by saying that there was one. There was the initial Torah given to Moses on Sinai by God, and it was called the Torah de Atzilut. That's the spiritual Torah of emanation, or closeness. Closeness to what? It's spiritually close. The first Torah to come down from God to man through Moses was the spiritual, entirely spiritual Torah of emanation from the world of Atzilut, the world of emanation. At the top of all the spiritual worlds is the world of emanation. It's also called, Atzilut is also defined as closeness. Closeness to what? To Ein Sof, to the highest transcendent being of God. Okay, then we said, though, that this Torah was taken back by God. When Moses broke the tablets, when he came down from the mountain, from Mount Sinai, and he saw the sin of the golden calf, he broke the tablets. And then after punishment and repentance and purification on the part of the Israelites, Moses went back up on the mountain. And God had meanwhile tried to give his Torah to other people besides the Israelites. When he saw the golden calf, Moses broke the tablets, which was just the symbolical sign of the covenant. But God, while Moses was down dealing with all of this, God, meanwhile, wasn't sitting on his hands, so to speak. He thought to himself, I've made a mistake in thinking that I can give my Torah, my divine Torah, to this obstinate, unruly, idol-mongering people who have built this golden calf, and whom Samael, Hasatan, the adversary of man, the opponent of my creation, of the world and of man, has enlivened with his spirit and brought to life, causing these people to worship it as a god. I've made a mistake in all of this. There's other people out here in this world, and I'm going to see if any of them will take it. So first he asked the Edomites, will you take my Torah? They said, what does it mean to take my Torah? What do we have to do? He says, well, you'll have to stop killing. Thou shalt not kill. They said, no, that's a part of the blessing that Isaac gave to our ancestor Esau. And we don't want to have to give that up. That gives us an advantage in this world, because Isaac gave the blessing to our father Esau and said, by the sword you shall live. Well, we're not going to give that up. Keep your Torah. Well, we want to do what we want to do. Then he tried to give it to the Ishmaelites, the descendants of the brother of Isaac, the people we generally refer to now as Arabs and Egyptians, the inhabitants of North Africa, the Sinai Peninsula, not the Persians. Those are a different group of people. But generally, the Arabs. And they said, well, what is this Torah that you want to give to us? And he says, well, you'll have to stop stealing. Thou shalt not steal. And they said, no, we're not going to give that up. That's a tradition of our ancestors. That's one of the things that we have learned how to do, and we've done that for centuries, and we're not going to give that up. So God then says, well, all that's left then is the rest of the nations. He says, I'll go and ask each one of those, but I'll send my messenger. So God sent his messengers to the rest of the nations and said, will you accept the Torah? And they said, what do we have to do? What does this Torah require of us to accept it? And the messengers, and this is the Malachim, angels, or messengers. That's what the meaning of messengers is angels of the Lord, said in each case, when they asked each of these nations, representatives of each of these nations, they said, well, you're going to have to give up idol worship. No more worshiping idols. But you can have this Torah. All the blessings of God's divine Torah will be yours. And they said, no, it is our pleasure to make and worship the gods that we choose. And we don't want to give that up. So, basically, God was left with the realization that it was this unruly people, the Israelites, were nothing for his Torah. And so, about then, Moses came back up and he said, will they accept the Torah if I give them a new Torah, a Torah of remaking, the Torah de Berea? And Moses said, yes, they will. They have pledged to obey your commandments. And so he gave the second Torah. This is the second Torah we've talked about. This is the Torah de Berea, the physical Torah of remaking. The first one was a completely spiritual Torah. This one was a Torah of purification of the passions of the body. Okay? And this one was written by Moses physically in the capacity of being God's scribe. God dictated it to Moses, who wrote it down in the form of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments on the two tablets. And he brought these down. So far we've talked about two Torahs, the Torah de Atzilut, the spiritual Torah of emanation, closeness, which was taken back and replaced by the Torah de Berea, the physical Torah of remaking, the Ten Commandments. Now we've talked about three more Torahs besides this. The Torah Shebiktav, that's the written Torah, which consists of the five books of Moses. Now, we are taught by the sages that all of the written Torah was contained within the letters and the words of the ten utterances, the ten commandments, the Decalogue. Okay? Obviously, the entire five books of Moses could not be contained in the Decalogue. There's not enough words and letters. So not literally. What it means is that mystically and spiritually, the Ten Commandments of the Decalogue, those words inscribed in stone on the tablets, in the stone tablets, that those are a code and contain within them all of the first five books of the Bible. The Pentateuch in Greek, it's the five books of the law, five books of Moses, Mosaic law. But not only that, but the entire canon of the Old Testament means the books of the histories, Kings and Ecclesiastes, the wisdom books, Proverbs and Job, others, and the books of the prophets. So the written Torah, the Torah Shebiktav, is the core part is the first five books of Moses, and then all the rest of the books of that make up the canon of the Old Testament is what's known as the written Torah, Torah Shebiktav. Okay, but then there's a counterpart to this. It is the Torah Shebal Peh, Torah Shebal Peh, the oral Torah. This is the Torah that was given to Moses during that 40 days when he went back up after he broke the first set of tablets. And God gave him the Ten Commandments, which Moses inscribed on the tablets. But also during that 40 days, God downloaded, as we can download off the internet from a website, so to speak, or a database, From a distant database, a remote database, we download information onto our hard drive. God downloaded from his divine mind, I should say its divine mind, from the divine mind of God, all the teachings of the oral Torah into Moses' mind. And this Torah, what was done with that Torah? Well, and I'm trying to find this now. I want to read this to you. We are taught in Perkei Avot, the Ethics of the Fathers, chapter 1, verse 1. This is in the Talmud. It's a tractate of the Mishnah. Quote, Moses received the Torah at Sinai. This is the oral Torah it's talking about now, okay? And handed it down to Joshua. Joshua to the elders. The elders to the prophets. And the prophets handed it down to the men of the great assembly. The latter said three things. Be patient in the administration of justice, develop many students, and make a fence around the Torah. Okay, so this is the oral Torah that we're talking about. The Torah Shebaal Peh is the oral Torah. Okay, so now that's four Torahs that we've talked about leading up to today. Then we told you there was yet another Torah, the Torah Kaduma, the primordial Torah. This is the Torah that is referred to in the book of Proverbs. This is the Torah that is the blueprint, the plans, which pre-existed the creation, and which God created was one of the seven things God created before making the earth and the heavens and the skies and the universe, essentially, and all its creatures and man. And it was the blueprint. I mean, if you're going to build a house, you've got to have a blueprint to go off of. Well, that's what the Torah Kaduma, the primordial Torah, that's why it's called primordial. It's before the creation. Okay, and we identified that with wisdom, which is Chokmah in the diagram of the Ten Sefirot. Okay, so that's five Torahs. Now I'm going to tell you that there are many, many more Torahs than these. Not to blow your mind or impress you, but to just let you know the facts. It's a reflection of the complexity of the divine mind, really. The infinity of God. Inexhaustibility of God and God's concepts. Okay, here are just a few. I had mentioned before that there's a Torah de Atzilut that was followed, taken back, and followed by a Torah de Berea. Well, in fact, there's a different Torah for each phase or stage of creation. And you should get out now the diagrams of the Ten Sefirot that you have, the Tree of Life, that's Chaim, and look at this. You'll see the ten spheres of the ten. Each one is a Sefirah, or ten Sefirot, plural. And they go from top to bottom. It's God descending into the world from a totally transcendent state, which is not shown, which is Ein Sof, which is above Keter, into Keter, which is the mitotic duplicate of Ein Sof, but manifest, but totally ineffable, unreachable, and not capable of being understood by man. And in fact, which we are forbidden to try to access. And then the nine below, which we are commanded to learn about and access. Okay? So each one comes out of the one before it and brings forth all of that which came before. Okay? Now, as this comes down, you can draw four lines, which are not on the diagram you're looking at. It could be if you've got a diagram from some book on Kabbalah. But there are four levels stages in this manifestation of God. The first level consists of the first three Sefirot, which is is Keter, Hokmah, and Binah. That is the realm. We call this either realm, world, or universe. Okay, that's the realm of Atzilut. Okay, emanation or nearness. Nearness makes more sense to me because it's the nearness to Keter and Ein Self. Okay. The next is Da'at, Hesed, Gevurah, and Teferet. And Da'at is a pseudo Sephira, okay? So there's really only 10, and Da'at is really the state of consciousness which allows us to cleave the depths and enter into knowing of Keter. So we aren't going to count Da'at. That's why it's in a dashed or dotted line, and it's not numbered. So the next triad, or the next realm, is the realm of Berea, and that's Chesed, Gevurah, and Teferet. Mercy, strength, power, judgment, and beauty of Israel, or compassion, rachamim is the other word or name for Teferet. Okay, that's the world of creation, the realm of creation. Then just below that is the next triad of Netzach, Had, and Yisod. That's the world of formation. That's in Hebrew is Yetzirah, Yetzirah. Okay, then finally, the next realm is Malkut, and that's the world of action. That's where it all comes together. That's where everything from the three supernal worlds above flow into this world. It's the last and the lowest of the supernal worlds. It's the world in which first we have nearness and emanation, becoming creation, becoming forms. All the forms that are possible are come into being here. In other words, all the species, all the genera, families, come into species, the different forms of matter, different forms of life. And then they actually come into spiritual, physical being through the world of Malkut, in which we are given the divine presence, the Shekinah, to be with us, the world of Asiyah, action. Okay, so those are the four stages of creation, the four universes, the four worlds, the four realms. And there is a different form of a single Torah. There's only one Torah, okay? This is the Torah that God has created, but it has many different forms, okay? And there's, so that in addition to the written Torah, the oral Torah, the primordial Torah, we have a Torah which has a different appearance and a tailored, the function of which is tailored specifically to the needs of each realm in the stages of creation. So we have a Torah de Atzilut, a Torah de Berea, this is in descending order, a Torah de Yetzirah, and a Torah de Asiyah. Okay? These are one way of looking at this, and has been taught by the sages this way, is to look at it as this way, that Ein Sof clads himself in garments of Torah in order to allow him to come into the world. In fact, Zohar in Bamidbar, the Zohar on Bamidbar, section 3, page 152a of the Sansino translation says this about that. Quote, "Observe the perfect balancing of the upper and the lower worlds. Israel here below is balanced by the angels on high, of whom it says, 'Who makest thy angels into winds?'" This is Psalms 104, verse 4. "Who makest thy angels into winds? Rahim. Malakim Rahim. Angels of winds. For the angels in descending on earth put on themselves earthly garments, as otherwise they could not stay in this world, nor could the world endure them. Now, if thus it is with the angels, how much more so it must be with the Torah that created them, that created all the worlds, and is the means by which these are sustained. Thus, had the Torah not clothed herself in garments of this world, the world could not endure it. So, what the Zohar is telling us here is that when God sends his messengers into the world, like, for instance, when we talked about just a moment ago about God offering the Torah to the nations, to all the nations of the world, we said he sent messengers, Malachim, the angels. It says here that these angels, which are winds, which means ruach, breath, winds, that those are forces. They're totally spiritual. Okay? And so it says here, for the angels in descending on earth put on themselves earthly garments, as otherwise they could not stay in this world, nor could the world endure them. It's a two-way street. Neither could they exist on our level way down here in Asiya, because they come from the upper worlds, the world of angels, which I believe is Yetzirah. Don't quote me on that, but I believe it's Yetzirah. They are so different from us, so much more spiritual, that they would not be able to survive in that spiritual manner in the world of action, nor would we be able to endure their presence. So they have to put on clothes. What are the clothes that they put on? Well, they put on the form of human body. How do we know this? Because in Genesis we are taught that when Abraham and Sarah were at their tent at his crossroads in the highlands up above the plain on which Sodom and Gomorrah were at, where his cousin Lot was living. Well, Abraham and Sarai were living in a tent, and he had realized and come to know that God was one, that there was only one God, and that God was one and was everything. And so he was directing travelers at a crossroads, and his tent was near this crossroads, and he would go out and welcome the travelers and bring them down to his tent and say, I know you're thirsty, I know you're hot and tired, come in, I'll get you water to drink, my wife will bake bread and will feed you stew, this wonderful lamb stew, and I'll wash your feet and your face and refresh you. And then while he was doing this, he would tell them his views on how there was only one God. And this was Abraham's religion. This is the foundational religion for what later became Judaism, what later became Christianity, what later became Islam, and what most likely later became Hinduism and Buddhism. So, getting back to the angels here, putting on the bodies of humans as garments to let them endure being in this world and let people endure their presence. We are told in Genesis that the Lord came down in the form of three men who came to Abraham, and Abraham ran to greet them and to refresh them. And these are the messengers that God sent down to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But first, Abraham greeted them and took them into his tent and had one of his calves or rams, goats, killed and fed them, washed their feet. Okay, so this is the garment that angels put on, that messengers put on from God when they come down in the world. It's a garment of a human body. Okay, and so then it goes on to say, now, if thus it is with angels, how much more so must it be with the Torah? Why? Because the Torah is what created the angels. This is the primordial Torah that we talked about in our last meeting. It was the primordial Torah that created them, that created all the worlds, and is the means by which these are sustained. Thus, had the Torah not clothed herself in garments of this world, the world could not endure it. Okay, Now, the Torah has many more forms. The sages teach us that the Torah has 70 faces. Where does it get 70 faces? Excuse me. I need a drink of tea there. My voice is starting to dry up on me. Ah, that's better. The Torah has 70 faces. This is one face or appearance. That's what a face is an appearance. For each of the 70 elders of Israel that Yahweh commanded Moses to bring up on Sinai to ratify the covenant. Now, where am I getting this? This is out of Exodus chapter 24, verse 1 and 9 to 11. Let me just read this. It's fairly short. I'll read this to you. And then we'll be about done for the day. Exodus 24. This is about the ratification of the covenant. This is the ratification of the covenant of the spiritual Torah da'atzilut. This is prior to the catastrophe of the sin of the golden calf. So, Yahweh is speaking. He then said to Moses, quote, "Come up to Yahweh, you and Aharon, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and bow down at a distance. Moses alone will approach Yahweh. The others will not approach, nor will the people come up with him." Moses went and told the people all Yahweh's words and all the laws. And all the people answered with one voice, "All the words Yahweh has spoken we will carry out." Moses put all Yahweh's words into writing, and early next morning he built an altar at the foot of the mountain with 12 standing stones for the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, it says here that Moses put all of Yahweh's words into writing, and early next morning. Now, this indicates that he did this in one day and night. So it couldn't be the five books and the entire Old Testament. No. What it was the spiritual Torah da'atzilut. It was just whatever rules and statutes that were necessary to enable them to know God spiritually, to listen to the Lord and know that I am your Lord. Then you will be my people and I will be your God. It was the simple laws necessary to carry out that simple spiritual Torah or instruction. Okay, and it says here that early next morning, he built an altar at the foot of Mount Sinai with 12 standing stones for the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, elsewhere, we are told that God tells him to go and tear down the poles of the goddesses of Ashtaroth and Astarte. And we find that Yahweh is a male attribute of God and is jealous of the female aspects of God. And he says, tear down their stones that stand upright in different places. We're told this. But the fact is here Moses erects 12 standing stones. So it's okay if they're built as a monument to the 12 tribes of Israel next to an altar at the foot of the mountain of God, an altar to Yahweh at the foot of the mountain of God. Okay. It goes on, "Then he sent certain young Israelites to offer burnt offerings and sacrifice bullocks to Yahweh as communion sacrifices. Moses then took half the blood and put it into basins. The other half he sprinkled on the altar. Then, taking the book of the covenant," this is where he had reduced the Torah da'atzilut, the covenant of nearness, to writing. It says, "Then taking the book of the covenant, he read it to the listening people, who then said, 'We shall do everything that Yahweh has said. We shall obey.'" So here's the ratification of the Torah da'atzilut, which they then broke their word, went back on with the sin of the golden calf. "Moses then took the blood and sprinkled it over the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the covenant which Yahweh has made with you, entailing all these stipulations.'" And then it says, "Moses, Aharon, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 elders of Israel then went up, and they saw the God of Israel, beneath whose feet there was what looked like a sapphire pavement, pure as the heavens themselves. but he did no harm to the Israelite notables. They actually gazed on God and then ate and drank. And shortly after this, in the very next verse, Yahweh calls Moses to come into the cloud. And he goes into the cloud and he's there for 40 days and nights receiving oral Torah. And the elders went back down the mountain. And since Moses didn't come down for 40 days, and they saw the top of the mountain fly up into the heavens, and there was lightning flashes and earthquakes, they thought that he was dead. But evidently not the 70 elders. These are the 70 elders that we're talking about here when the sages teach us that the Torah has 70 faces. There is a unique appearance, a unique version of the Torah for each of the 70 elders of Israel that Yahweh called up on the mountain, and so that they could see this pavement of sapphire and see the cloud of God's glory. And regarding this, it's what I read just earlier, in Perkei Avot 1:1, where it says, Moses received the Torah at Sinai and handed it down to Joshua, Joshua to the elders to the prophets handed it down to the men of the great assembly. So these are the 70 elders. Torah has 70 different appearances or interpretations based on the 70 elders of the tribes of Israel. Okay, and we've run out of time today, but when we come back tomorrow, our next meeting will be on Thursday. We are off of our schedule of Monday and Wednesday this week because of other commitments. So we're doing this on Tuesday today and Thursday. We will continue this on Thursday, and I will speak to you about how there are five, how the Torah was proclaimed in five voices, which represent the five fingers of the right hand, which represent the five books of the Torah, which was the fiery law unto the Israelites. And that's where we will take up when we return on Thursday at the same time. And so that is all for today, and I ask you to remember God at least twice. Remember that God suffers from his multiplicity, his name having been torn into many names. And we ask you to remember God and to pray for the comfort of his Shekinah and the Holy One, blessed be he, who mourn their separation and the exile of the Shekinah in this world, to pray for their unification. And to do this at least twice a day, so that you may be counted among the righteous in the world to come. And with that, I bless you and pray that you will go from strength to strength, not weakness to weakness, and Zygesund.